Okay, let's just begin at the beginning.
Yeah.
There are scammers from India.
I know that. Okay. He's all, there's people that love money and steal
they
money.
They call in.
They call them scammers, Pastor. I know that.
So they call in and they say, look, your subscription is over. We can repay your money. Why don't you just log into your bank account and just hit, fill out this form and you'll get your money back. So they black out the screen and they change the code on your computer.
They basically, you give them permission and they go on your computer, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they mess with the code, so it looks like they actually put money into your bank account.
Okay.
Which they did not.
Yeah.
And they said, oh no, I've given you too much money. Please send me some of this money back or else
the
I'll
scammer
lose my
says
job.
That. Yes. Oh, okay.
And they can't use a U.S. bank account. Obviously, they'll get caught and, you know, there'll be a big investigation. So what they do is they tell the people, like, go out and buy like a Walmart gift card or a Target gift card. And pay us back that way. And
what?
A lot of people fall for it. They do fall for
That's
it.
That's a really stupid way to do it.
Well, old people, like, they trust.
Fall for
they,
it.
They trust these.
So this
scammers.
Guy pretends to be an old lady, and he just, like, makes them run around in circles for hours upon hours and, like, just puts this whole thing in light, like, what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, and, well, there's different things that she or he does.
Uh-huh.
But this particular episode is she redeems the codes herself. And this guy is watching her do it because he has
the scammer's watching her.
Yeah. And it just drives him insane. And he just like starts cursing.
He, what do you mean he redeems the codes himself?
Like he takes the gift card codes, like whether it be iTunes or Google Play or whatever, and then he puts them into his own account. So like he can spend it himself. He's not giving the code to the scammer.
Right. He's playing like this dumb old lady who thinks that she's actually paying them,
yeah.
But she's actually redeeming the cards that she purchased.
Oh,
and then she's like, "There, I did it for you, sweetie. You know, you should have them."
Oh, so he thinks that, and it's like $2,000 worth of stuff, or what?
Yeah.
So she thinks that, or he thinks that the grandma is putting it into his account. Or no, I'm sorry. Into the scammer thinks that the grandma
thinks. Yeah.
That she's giving it to the scammer.
Yes. Yeah.
Correct.
But she's playing as though she's basically giving it to herself.
Redeeming
so.
It herself. Yeah.
But and the guy just goes crazy because like, it's like $2,000 worth, and that's like half a year's salary essentially in like rupees in India.
Yeah. So what is he saying? He's just yelling?
He's cursing her. He's calling her like a bastard, son of a bastard.
I mean, I'm just going to play like a very little of it. You can just see.
Okay.
All right, welcome to the Rod of Iron Podcast, Fundamental Baptist, breaking down discussions, dogma, and daily events. I am your host, Pastor Bruce Mejia, First Works Baptist Church, and I'm joined by the fundamentalists in our church, Brother Haitov Macy and Brother Adam Kanzari, and we got an exciting episode tonight. We're going to be talking about some various topics, number one being, we're just talking about this right now, scammers, right? Scammers on the internet and some of the funny stories that we've seen, or that actually these guys have seen. I think I've seen a couple of them. And but I haven't seen the ones where they actually reverse and they're actually able to change the code. I've seen others where the people just mess with them on the phone, basically.
Just waste their time.
Just like waste their time, yeah.
They're the funniest ones.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about scammers. We're going to talk a little bit about the quote unquote rat children of Pakistan and what's the deal with that. And then also.
Time preference.
Time preference, and if we have time, we're going to get into what's the other thing?
Hyperloops.
The hyperloop,
the
so-called
Elon Musk thing.
The Elon Musk hyperloop, and so got some interesting topics tonight, gentlemen. Are we ready?
Yes.
All right, let's get started.
Have you guys gotten those phone calls before?
I get the social security ones.
Okay.
I feel like I used to, but you know, in Hispanic homes, I don't know if you've seen this before. Like,
wait, your family does it?
And,
No.
That would be really bad. No, basically, what they do is like they call from Mexico, and I guess because Mexican families are just really big, they'll call like Hispanic households in America, and they'll play like though their cousin, right? Some distant relative. And a lot of the times Hispanic homes, they send money back to their home country. And even Guatemalans do this. They'll make money here and then they'll send like a large amount back. And so the people over there know that. So what they'll do is they'll find these phone numbers and they'll call in and they'll say, yeah, I'm your like second cousin removed. Don't you remember me?
And they probably are. I mean,
No, they're not. Okay. They're not. So, but the thing is that Hispanics are very, because they're family, very family oriented, they don't want to admit that they don't remember these cousins, right?
That's really funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, remember me? And it's just like, oh, yeah. I remember.
I forget.
And then they'll basically scam them into wiring the money, and they're not really their cousin or whatever. But I remember I had a – when I used to be a Spanish pastor, there was a guy who knew about those things, and he was from Mexico. He was born there, and he was in our church, and he said that the guy called him, and he just played along with them. And he's just like – yeah, you're just a liar. He's like, I don't even have cousins. I have no cousins whatsoever. And so you're just a scammer, and what you're doing is just trying to steal my money. This is what you do for a living, and you're wicked, and all these. And the guy just hung up on him. But yeah, that happens in Mexico.
It's crazy.
But the Indian ones, or the ones that call from India, are a little more advanced, right?
Yeah. I would say they're getting more and more advanced as time goes on because people are getting more savvy to them, but they still like go after
devices. The stories are so ridiculous. Like you mentioned the social security scam.
Yeah.
So there's a social security scam. They call you and they say, oh, you know, we found a car in Texas linked to your social security and we found like blood in it.
Yeah.
And we found like 20 pounds of cocaine and the cops are on their way. And here's this old lady trying to explain herself away. Like, it's sad. No, that's not me.
It's like listening to these calls, like the old lady's like crying.
And they're like, well, we know it's not you because obviously, you know, you seem like a nice old lady. But then you still, if you pay this amount now and we'll just like call off the cops and it's nuts.
They got my mom on that.
Really? The
social security. But it wasn't like an outlandish story.
Like she fell for it?
She did.
Oh, that sucks.
But it was only for like, I don't know, like a couple $100 or something. And she ended up getting it back. Because she acted pretty quick and they closed her accounts and all that. And obviously when it's fraud, like the bank pays back the money. But I'm sure there's been other stories where
people lose
like a lot. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, another way they do it is so sending money through the mail, like FedEx or USPS or whatever, is highly illegal.
Cash.
Like, you're not allowed to do that. So what they'll do is like, but it's untraceable because FedEx is not going to check your package if you don't say it's cash. So what they do is they have these mules in America and like these big cities that like they send the package of money to. And then those mules, they take a picture of how much money they received. They take a picture of the package and then they transfer it from their bank account to like a ringleader's bank account. And then that ringleader transferred it to the scammer in India or Nigeria or whatever. But it's like completely untraceable because it's cash and there's so many like levels of disassociation, essentially. Man.
Did you say mules?
Mules. That's what, you know, like, isn't that what it's called? Mules.
Like a drug mule.
Yeah, like a drug mule, yeah.
Did that clarify my question?
Well, someone who just does like the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or the dirty work.
They call them mules.
They call them mules. They're the grunts, basically, of the organization.
Yeah. Wow. That's kind of sad. What do you do for, I'm a mule.
I'm a mule for some Indian scammer.
I'm a jackass. I'm a jackass.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like they call Mexicans and people who bring people over from Mexico.
Coyotes.
Yeah, they call them coyotes. Why do they call them coyotes?
I guess
is there something that the animal does, a coyote does that's like.
Don't they just like roam the desert or something like that back and forth?
Maybe that's what it is, huh?
Yeah, probably.
Because they roam the desert and so they.
They know the land or whatever.
Yeah, maybe that's the case.
Yeah.
Do they still do that, coyotes?
Yeah.
How do you know it's very expensive?
The fence went
How
up.
Do you know that it's... What do you mean? How much is it now, Eli?
Well, before it used to be like $15,000.
He's like, well, you know, I actually brought my cousin over for about...
Well, before, my second cousin bringing him over was super cheap, but now...
I heard it's been like $10,000.
That was before?
How much is it now?
With inflation...
$20,000? How do you actually know this, though?
This still does it. Some of my family have done it.
They scam me off that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Able to cross
crossover, we're going to need like 5,000 more.
And yeah.
So they're just holding your relatives.
Sad. Sad, sad, sad. Unbelievable.
It's a crazy world, man.
Yeah, but these scammers from India, they'll call in. And
they're not always from India. They're probably from
They're like usually Pakistan from India.
They're typically from India.
Because India has a very high level of English like literacy. Like they speak
they
a
speak
lot of
better
English
than some Americans.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, yeah, because they speak proper English. Just because of the British colonization.
You must have not been. You. Scammers don't typically call you.
No, they call. I'm talking about, I've had customers or people calling me from quotes from like Washington, Seattle.
You're very
like
kind.
All these tech cities, they call and they have an Indian accent, but they have a heavy Indian accent.
Yeah.
But the British, the English that they speak
is proper.
Proper.
No, I've I mean these they. I don't know about that. I don't know. About that.
You're a very sweet
I'm
person.
I'm not lying to you, dude. What am I making this up?
Chase people who work for Chase,
the bank,
are in the Philippines. Like when you call in.
Oh, their call center.
Yeah, the call center's
in the
Philippines.
Philippines.
And I think Adobe is like the Adobe Premiere Pro and Photoshop.
Their
I think
programmers and stuff
their
like
Their programmers,
that, yeah.
I think those are in India. It's very frustrating
they could
sometimes.
Be smart. It's, I mean, the work ethic, even for a scammer, these guys put in maybe 10 hours
Come
a day trying
on.
To trying to scam people. If they put that same work ethic into like actually learning
That doesn't require work ethic to lie. And that's a complete oxymoron.
Yeah.
Ethics and lying
yeah.
and scamming.
No, work ethic. Like
they don't work hard. Sometimes they have these. The
would you consider someone who like kills people for a living as a hardworking citizen?
I'll just go ahead and say no to that.
But hold on, like sometimes they get screens
He's
of these
off record though. Hey, real talk though. Yeah, scammers are low lives.
Yeah,
they need to get a real job, and
They're wicked.
Or even if they got a job that didn't pay as much, that's still better. You know what I mean? Than scamming
you know, one
people
thing
for
scammers all have in
they,
common.
They destroy people's lives.
Yeah,
yeah. And what I've noticed on all these like calls that I listen to for fun sometimes is they always flatter people.
Oh
you
yeah.
Say you, like it, she pretends to, or he pretends to be a grandmother. Oh, you sound so young. How old are you? She's
yeah.
Like, oh, I'm like the, 85. She's like, oh, like, oh no, you sound like you're 40 or like something.
Yeah. Or they'd so say like, oh, I would love to be your son.
Yeah.
Dude,
but they're kind of like
they haste to be rich. I think these people, these scammers, are just wicked people who are greedy, a filthy lucre. They haste to be rich. They do abominable things because they have a false balance. And you think of the balance in the Bible, it's referring to the fact that you know when people would barter and trade or buy,
yeah,
you know they weigh something in the balance, and what they're doing is this: they have a fixed balance. Yeah. You know, to work in their favor or whatever. That's exactly what they're doing. They're just stealing from people. So wrong, man.
No, absolutely.
Theft.
Yeah.
They take people's life savings.
And what's even worse, you know, is the fact that they steal from, like you said, like elderly people.
Well, they target elderly people.
Because they know that they're very
they're
they can
gullible.
Be simple, gullible, they're trusting.
Yeah.
Sad.
Half the phone calls that I get from India, when I pick up, they and I say hello, they already know, like, they could tell my demographic and they just hang up on me.
We have listeners in India.
I'm sorry people, for what I said.
There's people in India that listen to our sermons. They regularly contact me on Facebook and stuff, and they listen. They're avid listeners, and like they're saved and stuff, and they never ask for money. I've had people, but there have been some people from India that have asked for money.
I guess those some Nigerians sometimes are like, "Oh, hello, my Christian brother."
Yeah, hello, yeah. Blessings and glory to you.
Yeah.
When somebody called me racist in one of the comments, I think they confused me for Adam or confused Adam for me or something.
Was it a she? I don't think it was a she.
I don't know.
I'm assuming it was a she.
Some other idiot came along and commented on it too.
Said that you were racist?
Yeah.
What? No, I think those guys are just trolls.
Okay.
I think those are just trolls from the podcast who are just
like best case scenario.
They hate the podcast.
Maybe they took the joke that you made. Like
there's some racist people in our church. I'm looking to it right now.
Yeah, maybe they took that seriously.
Yeah, but here's the thing:
some people take jokes seriously.
Okay, yeah, but even if that were the case, if that's all they based it on, to go back on the podcast comment section and say, you know, the guy's extremely racist.
That's true.
That would be really stupid, you know. So let me just everything all right or what? That one's good. Yeah, that one's fine. Just to clarify, Brother Hike is not a racist, okay? He loves all people. Not all people, but, you know, by default,
all
he loves
nations.
All nations.
Except
yes, correct. No, he loves them all. He loves them all. I'm sure if there was some Jew who got saved.
That's true.
You know what I mean? He'd love them as well.
I know a Jew who got saved. He's from Texas.
Really?
He's the only Jew I know who got saved. He grew up in like a Reform Jewish family. So like the ones that are like super liberal.
Are those the most likely to get saved, would you say? Because they're so...
Probably, yeah. Because
I know that sounds kind of weird.
Yeah.
Because you think of Christians who are like liberals, sometimes it's almost as if like they're the least likely to come to the saving knowledge because they're so... They can be very self-righteous.
But Orthodox are way more hardened.
Yeah.
Like they actually believe the Talmud and whatnot. Yeah. Whereas I think Reformed are just cultural Jews.
I thought the Orthodox did not believe the Talmud.
They all believe the Talmud. All Jews believe the Talmud.
Orthodox... Is it? Believe in the Talmud.
Every
yeah.
single one of them.
All Jews today come from the Pharisees, and they all believe the Talmud.
I can't speak for every single one of them, but generally speaking,
the denomination.
I'm going to check this out.
But it says Christianity, buddy.
Orthodox Jews believe the entire Torah, both written and oral. So there is no oral Torah. They're talking about the 70 elders that.
What is an oral Torah? I'm pretty sure that's the Talmud.
It's referring to the Talmud because the Talmud is the oral law.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was given.
So before, if I remember.
But here's the thing: every Jew will say that they believe in the Torah, but they don't. Right. Yeah. That's just they just pay lip service to saying that that's what they believe.
The Talmud supercedes,
before they would not say that the oral tradition was part of the Torah. They would at least separate those two. But now it seems like they're kind of
separate. You have the Torah and then the oral Torah, which is the Talmud.
The Talmud is not referred to as the oral Torah.
What is it talking about then?
What does it say?
It says the oral Torah.
I'll look it up. They believe the entire Torah, both written and oral. Is the divinely inspired word?
Well, that's
of God.
Just deception, is what it is. It's just being deceptive.
The oral Torah is the Talmud.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
Well, I know it's the Talmud, but they're just lumping it in.
Yeah. It's something completely different.
The Torah, which it's not.
Jews only give lip service to the first five books in the Bible when it benefits them regarding
their land.
Their land. And then outside of that, they just throw everything else out. Mm-hmm. So.
Yes, beginning with. Genesis.
But that's every modern every modern form of Judaism is believes the Talmud because they're all descended from the Pharisees. Every single one. Because
traditions of the elders.
You mean Satan.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously from the spiritual aspect, yes, the demon.
Yeah.
The doctrine
but like,
of the devils, yes.
With the fight between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Pharisees won out of that fight and the Sadducees basically went extinct, that like school of thought. So now only the offspring of the Pharisees exists, and that's Pharisaical Judaism. And then you get
is that in history? Is that
yeah? And then obviously Pharisaical Judaism gets split, and there you have Reformed.
When did
Judaism
the Sadducees die out?
Around 70 AD, because they were really? Already the smaller. They were already the smaller, or maybe it was 110.
Sadducees were basically Pharisees, but with a variant belief system, which it was pretty like weird,
more heretical.
Yeah, it's more heretical because they didn't believe in angels or demons. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They denied a lot of those things.
Yeah, but they were a smaller group too historically. That's why you
at
see
least what Pharisees could be saved.
Yeah,
but Sadducees, if you don't believe,
I'm not saying that Sadducees
done.
Couldn't be saved, but
there's
obviously,
just less of them.
Obviously, if you don't believe in the resurrection,
yeah, then what are you? Even?
Yeah, or if you don't believe in the spiritual things like angels and demons and or devils.
But I think the reason you don't
they don't believe in the spirit. It's like what in the world?
The reason you don't see very many Sadducees get saved in the New Testament is because there just aren't many of them. Pharisees were like the bigger sect.
Yeah.
And then they won out eventually because all the Sadducees were wiped out when
I think Jerusalem. The largest group of Pharisees was known as the Sanhedrin. That's what it was called.
I think that's the like the Congress, the Sanhedrin.
Look it up.
Yeah, Pastor, it says...
What are you...
This guy is struggling, bro.
It says the composition of the Sanhedrin... Yada, yada, yada. Partition of the two major parties of the day, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Some say the Sanhedrin was made up of Sadducees, some Pharisees, others, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, okay. So basically the Sanhedrin was collectively both Sadducees and Pharisees.
Exactly.
Basically.
So in Acts, when the Sadducees and the Pharisees are like
that would be considered
Paul,
the Sanhedrin.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of like the Republican and Democratic parties.
Yes,
today.
Actually, that's a
really good parallel. Actually,
well, here's the thing: the
Sadducees would be like the Democrats.
The Congress in Israel today, or the Parliament, or whatever you want to call it, is called the Sanhedrin. The modern.
It's crazy.
That's crazy. Congress. Yeah, because the Sadducees can be like the Democrats, and the Pharisees are like the Republicans, but they're both under the canopy of the Sanhedrin, which is just equally bad.
Yeah.
And we're basically like the Christians.
Yeah.
Christians, basically. Because we're outside of that segment, you know?
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting, actually, if you think about it.
I was watching a video earlier, and some Zionist was talking about how one of the first things that Jews should have done when they got to Israel was, settle the land and then destroy Amalek. And then he talks about how to destroy Amalek. Amalek today is, descended from Esau and Edom, et cetera, et cetera. And he says Amalek today is America. So what? We have to destroy America is what he was saying.
Aren't they already? So
wait, hold on a second. They're teaching the Jews that?
The Jews are teaching that. The Zionists.
Oh, the Jews. Yeah. They're teaching that to the Jews, though.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah, they've been weird. Doing that.
It's the Orthodox. The Orthodox sect is super, super anti, America and all this stuff.
Even though America's helping them
exactly,
and everything.
Exactly.
Because America is just a whore, right?
What's his name? What's the president?
Just a whore that's being used.
What's the name of the president of Israel?
Netanyahu.
Netanyahu.
Gets up. There's a clip of him getting up and says, America is like the modern day Amalek.
What?
Yeah. And he says, our America is the modern day Rome. And, Rome is Amalek.
Wow.
So.
I mean, why were we surprised, right?
Yeah.
And they got to get Rome to kill the Christians.
Yes.
That's a good parallel.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Things are very simple when it comes to Jews, man. They hate God and they hate God's people. Just chalk it up to that.
Yep. I'm going to be teaching through the Book of Revelation on Instagram on Friday.
Is it going to be like clips of the Revelation series?
No, I'm going to go live on Instagram.
Oh, dang.
And just sit down and just kind of go verse by verse of each chapter. There's a lot of people on Instagram that are not on YouTube at all. But they're on Instagram like crazy, so.
Are you going to give them like bite-sized?
No, I'm gonna try to go down deep on some things, yeah.
Just like one-hour live streams?
Yeah, you can go up to 4 hours, but I'm not going to go 4 hours teaching through the Book of Revelation. I mean, I don't think people can handle that. But, I'm just going to teach through it, and we'll see how it goes. And if people don't tune in and they're just bored with it, then I'll stop.
Then I'll stop.
Yeah. So I don't even know why I brought that up. I forgot why I brought that up.
Well, we're talking about Jews and...
Oh, yeah, it made me think of the synagogue of Satan, probably. That's what it is. Oh, yeah, talking about Babylon, the Antichrist, Mark of the Beast, all that stuff. Yeah. So anyways, we talk about scammers, and I looked up... I didn't look it up. Someone either sent it to me or I saw it talking about the rat children of Pakistan. Have you guys ever heard of that?
Yeah.
And it's a deformity... of children that basically, I think it can happen, not naturally. What's the word I'm looking for?
Genetically.
It can happen genetically, right? And I don't know exactly why. They just have some sort of deficiency. That's them right there. And
What is it called?
Microcephaly.
Microcephaly.
Microcephaly. Yeah, microcephaly, basically abnormal smallness of the head. And it's basically associated with an incomplete brain development, which can happen genetically. But the ones in Pakistan, this is actually being, like, the parents of these children are actually doing this to their children. But Adam, you're saying that the parents do that in Pakistan to their children in order to basically make them beggars.
Yeah, essentially.
In order to get sympathy from people to get money and all that,
I think it's that. And I'm also reading here that apparently in Pakistan, it says that they're like, revered as like divine or like gifts from God, and it says
so I understand they would do that so the children become beggars. I don't know if it was the gypsies who did this, but they would actually blind their children so they could be better in music, like musically. So whether they're going to play an instrument or be singers in the subways, they would do that.
What?
Yeah.
And how would they blind?
Oh, here it is. Here it is. It says, they are revered as divine creatures and simultaneously stripped of their human dignity. Reportedly infertile from across the country, flock to the shrine in the hopes of having a normal baby. Other pilgrims bring in their sick infants in hope of their bright health conditions in the future. And then they see them as like these microcephaly children. They're like these divine creatures that like symbolize fertility, and they have them at the shrine and stuff. So they're doing it so people have sympathy on them. But people in Pakistan also, I guess, revere these kids. It's like, obviously, it's horrible that they're deformed like this. But
so they kind of worship them or something.
Yeah. Remember wow. That.
But these children are not born that way. They're made that way.
Well, they can be born that way
They can, but most of them are made that way, right?
I think most of them are born that way because I was actually reading about this. Pakistan has a lot of inbreeding, unfortunately.
See, that's the first thing I thought of when I saw that. Mm-hmm. This looks like a genetic thing, but as a result of incest.
Yeah. I think that's what it is, because, you know, brothers or sisters or cousins over generations and generations and generations, it can happen. And that's actually something in the UK. So
what's that called? The jaw?
The Habsburg.
Habsburg jaw.
Where they get, you like,
ever heard that?
Giant deformed jaw.
The Habsburg. Habsburg?
Habsburg, yeah.
Habsburg family?
Family name, yeah.
Yeah, the royal family. So yeah. Inbred where their jaw, their underbite was so massive that
they couldn't eat.
They couldn't talk. Yeah, they couldn't talk, and they had like consistent seizures and had all these issues and problems.
Well, that wasn't all of them. It was only one of them that
who, like, had seizures.
Yeah, and he was like the king of the, or the emperor of the.
But I heard all of them had some.
All of them had deformities. But this guy, I think his name was Charles, was like the culmination of all of that. Like he was like 20 or something. He had the like intelligence of an 8-year-old. He's just deleting the whole podcast.
I was like, what is that?
But yeah, to get back to the Pakistan thing,
there's a picture of Jay Leno.
The Habsburg jaw.
He's got the Habsburg jaw.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible. Well, Oh well.
In the UK, it's an even bigger issue because there's a lot of Pakistanis in England, and it's even a smaller genetic pool than in Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
So inbreeding in between the Pakistanis in England is like 20 times as intense.
Is that like that's just like a thing?
It's something? A cultural thing, yeah.
To commit incest.
I guess so.
That's so.
Well, it's a Muslim thing.
Oh, man.
Where like cousin marriages are just like the norm. And it's still a thing in a lot of places in the world, even Christian places. Like in Brazil, for example, cousin marriages are still.
Like, okay, are we talking about like cousins, like.
Like first cousins.
Oh, first cousins.
Like your uncle's children.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Yeah, in Brazil, I think it might be all South America, but Louisa was telling me that in Brazil, it's not common, but it's not like viewed as weird or unacceptable or something like that.
Well, obviously, the main thing here is the fact that a lot of these countries are just godless. Mm-hmm. Because if they had the word of God, they would know that this is wrong, this is disgusting. And
would you consider cousin
an incestuous marriage or yeah. Incestuous relationship? Union? Yeah. Absolutely, okay. Yeah. Cousin with cousins? Mm-hmm. Yes. Especially, you know. I think it's different if it's like a cousin who is like not blood related at all.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's blood related, obviously that's incest,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there's going to be some form of deformity in that child. But that is gross. Yeah. That's disgusting. That's sad.
Yeah. And it's kind of all over. Every culture has that weird thing that they do where they make some kind of deformity out of their children.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So like China with the feet.
Yeah.
Where they break their feet.
They form them into like little hooves almost.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And then I've seen pictures of it. They do it to little
only women though, I think.
Yes.
Which is weird because these, you know, grown women
mm-hmm.
having little feet because it's attractive to men.
I think women do it like for themselves.
I thought they would do it for men.
No, dude, nobody is going to do that.
To themselves. Like
I guess they must find it attractive, the men.
Well, that's what's kind of weird about that.
Yeah. Well, it's like in Africa where people put like giant hoops in their lips and deform their noses and all their this neck. Stuff.
I'm their just neck, saying yeah, like their neck I'm just saying it. if there's men who find that attractive, like there's only one group of people who have small feet like that, and those are children.
Mm-hmm.
And to want someone to have small feet like that, it's just like, that's disgusting. Like, that's not natural.
It's nasty.
It's unnatural.
Yeah.
Even to the point of breaking the foot and
yeah, dude.
Like, if you ever seen the foot without, yeah, that picture right there. Good night. It looks like a shoe.
It looks like a hoof.
Yeah, it looks like a hoof. Yeah, look at, what in the world?
The toes are like all on the.
I don't think they do it anymore, though. That was like in the past.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
Yeah, that was in the past. Well, but there, you know, a lot of cultures have done that.
Had cameras apparently
in different parts of the world where, like you said, the disc and the lip
elongate the neck,
or even what is that? What were we talking about? The cranial
like the Egyptian one, cranial deformation.
Cranial deformation.
And then we have like the American equivalent these days with like Botox.
Well, that's the thing. Okay, so we look at that and we're like, oh man, that's so right. disgusting that's and wicked. But it's like
look at these celebrities with like these giant clown lips and all this stuff.
Yeah, Botox and breast implants.
What are they doing to themselves?
Even that's tattoos crazy. And plugs and piercings and all that. That's stuff of the heathen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. See, that's what I was talking about right there.
What is that?
This is...
That's totally... That's an extreme.
That's sure. not real.
Yeah, it is real. It's real. There's people who... There's more than one person who's done that. Where they literally... They'll split their tongue to make it look like a reptile. Or like a snake.
Yeah. I've seen that.
And they'll put some sort of...
Just green tattoo all over their
metal
body.
Stones in their eyebrow to kind of disfigure their
to
brow.
Make it look like like lizards or yeah. whatever. That's nasty. That's it's, ridiculous, dude.
It's a hatred of one's own body.
What a freak show.
What?
Ken the Barbie doll?
No.
Oh, I'll,
oh dude.
Pull
he,
it up.
He makes himself look like the Ken doll.
Ken doll?
Like the Ken doll.
Unbelievable.
He looks like an alien, dude. These are the real little gray.
Oh, man. What in the world?
That's crazy.
You faggot. That have guy.
Have you seen the Bogdanovs?
That looks... That look,
oh, dude.
Blow up the picture.
I know what you're talking about.
Have you seen the Bogdanovs? Weird, do you know who that is?
What in the world?
Yeah, look at this. So these are two French guys who were like into like science and stuff in the early 80s. And like that's the bottom. That's the top is before and after. They're twins.
And what do they do to themselves?
I mean, just look.
botched surgeries. What were they trying to go for?
They're getting old. I don't know. Ask them. But there's legends online about these guys, about the Bogdanovs.
Legends about what?
I don't know. They control like France
that
and stuff.
That they're from outer space or something.
Yeah.
Oh, Bogdanov twins.
Yeah.
Man.
Oh, Synthol.
Oh yeah. Tell me more about that.
That's what work? You did, right?
Tell me more. How does this work? Fake abs, huh?
Oh, dude. Did you see recently? Do you know who Ellen Page is?
No.
Do you know who that is?
Nay.
Yeah, the lesbo. But now she's a tranny. And then she put a picture online of her with fake abs, like in swim trunks. And obviously she's transitioned to a tranny now, and then she has these fake abs.
Ugh.
And it's just like, it's ridiculous, dude. She calls herself Elliot Page now. Yeah,
Elliot Page.
Ellen Page is her original name. Oh, and Juno. She was in Juno.
I have no idea what that is. X-Men.
She was in X-Men?
So she wanted to continue her role as a freak.
mutant?
As a mutant, yeah.
That's gross. She's
a mutant, all right.
America has learned the way of the heathen and has become degenerate, even to the point of destroying one's own body. And there's plenty of people out there who do these plastic surgery procedures and they end up dying because of it, because they get infected or whatever it may be. And it's just be happy with who you are, man.
At least like other countries, they might have an excuse. Like these things are actually forced upon them. Whereas in America,
these people aren't normal. These people are not normal. Because the Bible says, well, anybody who... deforms their body in any way, whether Botox.
At least in other countries, like these things are imposed upon them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
In America, you have the choice.
Yeah. In America, like they choose to be that way. Yeah.
And it costs so much money. Like how these people actually take out credit card loans.
The injections to the lips.
It's a constant thing. You have to constantly do it.
And then it just looks like disgusting. Stupid. And the thing is, you know, these people are not normal. Hold on a second. Brother Elisus, once you're done with that, can you go open the door for my wife? These people are not normal because the Bible says that no man never yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. And it's talking about normal people. Like a normal person doesn't hate their own self. They don't hate their body. They don't hate their flesh. And the proof of that is that they nourish it. They cherish it. You know, obviously there's people out there with insecurities for whatever reason, but break your feet, to tattoo your entire body, or to put plugs in, or to get Botox, it's like that's an extreme abnormal change that sometimes costs people their lives, you know? Yeah. We're fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
I think that's why it's important to compliment your children as much as you can when they're young, to build their confidence.
Because they don't want to look like freaks when they
grow up. Well, no, just because, like, you know, sometimes people go down that road because they're insecure.
Yeah, yeah.
And they get around other insecure people, and these other insecure people found a solution to their insecurity, which is Botox, tattoos, all these other things. But if you just praise your children and love your children and tell your daughters that they're beautiful, tell your sons that they're handsome. They're just going to be confident
or
in who they
avoid,
are.
Avoid like Hollywood, you know, the magazines and like yeah. the makeup.
Yeah,
the,
right.
And not even Botox, but like they slap so much makeup on their face and yeah. they can't.
That's
even,
that's well, here's
that's
the thing about that.
Unavoidable now, even on like TikTok.
It is unavoidable to a certain extent, but even then, just teaching them that that is actually really fake. Like a lot of that stuff, like the advertisements of the beautiful women.
It's all Photoshop.
It's all Photoshop.
It is. Yeah.
Absolutely. A lot of it is just Photoshop. They can be literally a complete different person.
I've heard of stories of men marrying women and then they wake up the next morning just not recognizing who they're waking up next to.
Yeah.
Well, because they're Photoshop?
No.
They damn, that's so some good makeup. Photoshop, bro.
It works in real life too, yeah.
Because of their makeup.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And then they actually sue to get a divorce and
what?
For damages. Oh, yeah, I've heard of stuff like that.
That's in, like, Korea. That happens in Korea where, like, there's, like, nuts, tons bro. Of plastic surgery and all that stuff.
Well, you know, now it's getting to a point where it's getting to a point where people are trying to get surgery, or I've heard of people getting surgery to look like the filters version of themselves from like Instagram,
like
or
the
TikTok.
Mouse filters and stuff.
Because they you know, Instagram or
the blur
or
filter.
No, they have like a filter where it just like I don't know,
makes your eyes bigger, makes your mouth smaller.
Yeah, it kind of does something to your face.
Makes you look
you know?
Like more
anime.
No, it makes you look more like anime. like a little. If you're a woman, it makes you look like a little girl. Gives you like tiny infantile features, like a small
I have
nose,
no idea.
Big eyes, big
what?
Head.
Man sues ex-wife for having ugly children.
Oh, that's in
what?
That's in Korea. So this guy married this woman who had tons of plastic surgery, or he didn't know she had tons of plastic surgery, and then they have children, and all the children are
it doesn't
unfortunately
translate
ugly.
Over genetically.
What do you mean they're ugly? How do you say that you got ugly surgery. Children?
Bring up the
it's like, bro, up. How do you know that those genetics didn't come from you, son?
Yeah, that's true.
Idiot.
Because he found,
that story was actually fake. Actually,
he found
at the end of the day,
this one's fake. Surgery.
Yeah, that story was fake.
How do you know it's fake?
It was like it's like an urban legend online.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, didn't you just talk about it?
I remember that it was fake.
Pastor, oh, okay.
The guy finds all these.
He's like, that was actually me. I made up that story. The guy, I'm surprised it's still on the internet. I wrote that article, actually.
The guy finds
fake news.
All these receipts for plastic surgery. He's like, what is this?
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't think the Bible is 100% against makeup, but anything in excess.
There's a limit.
Yeah, there's
sake.
A limit. Everything in excess is just really bad. So, and you should be happy with who you are. And obviously, makeup is not, I don't think it's sinful. I just think if it's in excess, it's sinful. You know what I mean?
They call it a vanity mirror for
a reason.
For a reason.
I'll take that back. I don't want to say it's sinful if it's in excess because the Bible doesn't say it's sinful. But obviously, the Bible paints
it in a bad light.
It in a bad light. Well, pun intended.
Yeah.
Because it says painting on her face.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, true.
So you should just be happy with who you are, you know?
Yeah.
And that's not to say you can't wear gold, pearls, or costly array or broided hair. But the emphasis obviously should be put on the inner man, you know? But obviously, you know, there's people out there who are discontent with themselves, but they just need to realize that they're fearfully and wonderfully made. But I honestly believe, like you said, first of all, just staying away from all the advertisements and Hollywood and what Hollywood portrays as being beautiful. Mm-hmm. And
he'll do fine.
Yeah. And then mom and dad just praising their kids and not putting them down and everything. And make sure they watch who they associate with, you know.
Sometimes
who their
people,
friends are.
If people are discontent about the way they look or something for like a specific reason, say they're like overweight.
Yeah.
Right. Then I think that at that point you should work to fix that. Because obviously,
yeah. That's obviously your natural frame, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So Ike, I'm just kidding.
I think that kind of ties into like time preference, kind of what I was thinking about. Because a lot of what some people will do now is instead of going on a diet, whatever diet you choose, right? Whether it be caloric restriction or keto or carnivore.
Yeah.
Do something.
Carnivore is keto.
That's true.
Yeah.
Do something. But what a lot of people are doing now is they're getting like their stomach, what do you call it?
Well, going back to the whole plastic surgery.
Yeah.
Well, now what they'll do, and I've known someone who actually did what you're about to talk about,
yeah.
And they actually died from that.
Where they staple the stomach, right?
Well, they'll cut the stomach.
And make it smaller.
Make it smaller so they get full faster.
Yeah. They died from that?
Yeah, they died from that.
Wow.
Because what happened, well, I know two people. One died from it during the surgery.
Dang.
Because of the fact that it got infected, and so when they would eat you know, obviously food becomes fecal matter in your body.
Yeah.
And it began to leak out through the intestines and poison them, and they ended up dying.
Wow.
And then the other one, I can't remember what it was, but I think that just little by little, they enlarge their stomach and they end up getting fat again.
Right, because it expands. Your stomach can expand. And it's such a costly procedure, too. It's thousands and thousands of dollars, all just because you're lazy.
Yeah.
You don't want to like put in the work. You don't want to.
Well, a lot of times, too, is like people have reached the boundary of, or they surpass the boundary of going back to their regular normal size.
What do you mean?
You know, because they're like 350 pounds overweight or 400 pounds overweight.
Then fast.
Yeah. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, at that point, you're not going to return back to your normal frame, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, you've gone past, like, you're always going to have like loose skin or whatever and stuff like that.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, that's just the consequences of your stapling your stomach isn't going to fix that either. Right. Yeah. But that kind of goes into like time preference. Like people want, they want gratification now. They don't want to work hard and maybe years. It might take years to get to that point. But at the end of that thing, it's going to be better than you spending thousands of dollars to staple your stomach.
It's called delayed gratification.
Delayed gratification, exactly. And there's actually something interesting is like children have very, very high time preference. And what that means, time preference is like how much you value time. Mm-hmm. Basically, how much you value the present over the future. And they did a test at Stanford, I think, a university, where they brought in a bunch of kids ranging from like 4 years old to like 10 years old. And they placed a marshmallow in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the scientist said, or the researcher or whatever said, I will come back.
Oh, I've seen, I've heard that before.
Yeah.
And there's a book that I read that talked about that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So children have this high time preference. He said, if I'm going to put this marshmallow in front of you, I'm going to leave you alone in this room for 15 minutes. If you don't eat that marshmallow, I'll come back in 15 minutes and give you another marshmallow,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you watch the video and these kids are like struggling not to eat the marshmallow. They're like staring down at it and all this stuff. And like some kids eat the marshmallow and they don't get that reward in 15 minutes. And some kids just wait and they don't eat that marshmallow. And what's interesting about that study is they came back to all those kids that did that study like 15, 20 years later. And they found that the kids who had a lower time preference, as in they didn't eat the marshmallow, they waited to double that in 15 minutes, they were more successful in life. Right?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. And that's like a biblical concept too.
Yeah. Absolutely. Delayed gratification.
Delayed gratification.
It's basically a pay now, play later kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where you can play now or pay later. And it's a matter of, are you willing to I think Pastor Anderson preached something like that, which is basically like choose your suffering. Because you're going to suffer now or you're going to suffer later.
Right.
But it's better to suffer up front and then
be rewarded later.
Be rewarded later for that.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's basically what the Christian life is all about.
Mm-hmm.
It's suffering now. You think of Moses in Hebrews chapter 11 says that he chose to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the riches of Egypt.
Basically. You preached on that last Sunday.
Yeah.
It'll be pleasurable if you do it right now.
Right.
But
afterwards, thy mouth shall be filled with gravel.
Exactly.
And bread stolen bread is sweet, but afterwards thy mouth shall be filled with gravel.
Yeah.
And just the fact that sometimes it's just better to wait. You think of young men who just can't wait to get into a relationship and they commit fornication or something like that. And then they have to live with that kind of. I'm not saying they have to live with it for the rest of their lives, but it's almost like a blotch on their own personal record and their own mind. You know what I mean? Whereas someone who's just willing to wait doesn't have to carry around the guilty conscience of, man, that I did that one time.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
And it applies all across the board for all types of things, but especially in the Christian life, because the Christian life is filled with trials and tribulations and hardships.
You have to bear it sometimes.
You have to bear it. Yeah. You know, you got to take up your cross. Well, think about Jesus. Well, how does it go? It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endure the cross, despising the shame. So basically,
he endured the cross
because he saw the joy that was set before him.
What would
him.
Come, exactly.
What would come because of it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how, you know, God wants us all to live, you know?
Yeah. And that's, I was listening to a...
what is that called? What's the modern term?
Time preference.
Time preference. Why do they call it time preference? Like, what do you prefer?
Yeah, how much do you prefer time, essentially, is what it is.
Oh, I see. Like, how much do you value time?
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Is it more like, what time do you prefer the most? Like, the time spent later, the time spent now?
Essentially, what it means is, like, do you value now a lot, or do you value the future a lot. Yeah. Essentially, it's like a gradient, like how much. So low time preference people, they value the future a lot because they don't prefer time. They don't they don't care for it, essentially.
And I think people can change in that area.
Oh yeah, it's discipline can be learned, I think. Yeah. And time preference is essentially discipline.
Yeah.
And like this is kind of like a segue, but like civilization, like society and everything is built on how much on like time preference. Like for example, like the example given is like a fisherman who he just catches fish with a spear every day. Mm-hmm. And he's been doing, his father did it, his father's fathers did it, and it's worked. They'll live and they'll subsist on that fish and all that stuff. But then you have another fisherman who, you know, he takes a risk to create a fishing rod. He might waste his time creating this fishing rod. He doesn't know if it'll work. He doesn't know if it'll be good. He doesn't know, he'll know if it'll even be worth it to create this fishing rod to catch more fish. But he takes that risk and he values the future more than he values now.
Mm-hmm.
More than he values like the catching fish with a spear that's been done forever and it's proved to work. And eventually the fisherman who creates that fishing rod, eventually he creates a boat, he creates a giant carrier, he creates a net. It compounds.
And that's how corporations are
essentially
created.
And that, and like in a way, that's how our, like that's how civilization is made, is on time preference and patience and how mm-hmm. much you value now versus later.
I remember hearing this illustration of it's basically, the illustration is you can have a man with a dull axe hacking at a tree, trying to cut it down. And he can hack at it for, I don't know how many hacks you got to like hit a tree for until you knock it down. Mm-hmm. But let's say 100 of them, right? 100 hacks, you get the tree down with the dull blade. I might be wrong. So you guys who live out in the woods, don't judge me.
It's an example.
Whatever.
It's an example.
Forget you guys. No, I'm just kidding.
Forget you lumberjacks.
But whereas the other guy actually spends the majority of the time sharpening his axe mm-hmm. to make it sure that it's nice and sharp. And he might take just as much time as the guy who's doing 100 hacks, but the difference is that he only has to do 5 of them.
Yeah.
And then he cuts down the tree.
It's essentially the same.
It's the same principle. It's like, yeah. Where are you going to invest all your time in?
Exactly.
And the thing is, like, that's really good time preference. And it kind of goes hand in hand with systems because of the fact that time preference is your perspective or your disposition towards goals mm-hmm. being successful. But in order to reach that or to flesh that out in your life, you need systems in your life,
mm-hmm.
right? Because the system is the vehicle that will take you to that preferred time.
What do you mean by systems?
Because of the fact, like, you know, you think of time preference, okay? Time preference is dealing with your mentality regarding your goals.
Exactly, yeah.
Right? Like, I want to reach this goal, so therefore I need to go without today so I can have more tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that within every single one of us is a desire to have it now.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to compensate for that or to overcome that so we can be successful later, you have to have systems in place to make you do what you're supposed to do.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Until you get to that preferred goal. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because sometimes sin nature, just you're lazy or you just don't want to do it or you get taken off course.
Well, we all prefer to have it now.
Yeah.
Like it's innate.
The system will help you to reach that goal.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't, and the good thing about systems is that you don't necessarily need disciplines for systems. You just need a system. I mean, that goes into the whole habit loop or whatever, mm-hmm. but yeah, that's good. What is that, a book?
It's actually an audiobook called The Bitcoin Standard.
didn't I tell you? I was like, this sounds like something regarding Bitcoin. He's like, no, Sherman. I got Bruce Sherman.
No, I didn't say. I said no.
Well, I'm gonna get that book. Bitcoin Standard. I'm gonna get that.
It's
book.
A really. It's I would recommend it to anybody, even if you're not interested in Bitcoin or whatever. The first half is, it kind of goes over historical examples of like economics, so you can learn about how economies work and Austrian economics and how money works and stuff like that. And he gives many like examples that I found like really helpful to like a Christian's perspective as well with this time preference thing.
Yeah.
I think you can find that in the Bible. But also,
it's all over the Bible.
Yeah. But this also is tied into a recent sermon that Pastor Anderson preached about low risk, low reward,
mm-hmm.
where time preference also works with how risk averse you are. Obviously, I mean, you founded a church. That was a risky endeavor. Mm-hmm. It could have not worked out.
Yeah.
Or like every time you go knocking doors, there's a risk that, you know, you don't get anybody saved, or there's a risk that you get yelled at or whatever. Or if it's your first time soul winning, there's a risk that you knock on somebody's door that you know.
Yeah.
Right? But with everything in life, like there's a risk, and you have to measure that risk. And the worst thing you can do is not take any risks right. in your life. And that was kind of like the message from Pastor Anderson's sermon last Sunday. And I really like that because he uses the example of the slothful servant, mm-hmm. where he took the talent from the master and he put it in a napkin and he just hid it. Whereas the other servants, they went and they invested and they worked and they made their money become more. Mm-hmm. He had 10 talents and then 5 talents. And the master eventually took it from the slothful servant, the one talent, gave it to the servant with 10 talents. So I don't think God wants us to be, essentially this is Pastor Anderson was saying, God doesn't want us to be risk averse. He doesn't want us to play it safe all the time.
Right.
We have to take risks in life. And yeah. I think like...
Well, we walk by faith, ultimately.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's well, risk. If
yeah, that's not risk, then what is?
Exactly. Because yeah. you're walking by faith, not knowing what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was telling you about the parable of the man who bought the field with treasure. Mm-hmm. You know, he sees the field. He comes across this treasure in the field, the parable. And the Bible says that he goes and he sells everything that he has to buy that field.
Because he knows
the treasure's in that field. So even though he loses everything up front, he does it so he can gain. He wins everything in the long run.
That's time preference as well. He's saying like, well, I'm going to lose everything now, but hey, there's a chance. There is a chance.
He that saveth his life shall lose it, but whosoever loses it for my sake shall keep it. The same shall save it.
That at this time, you're not really losing anything.
Well, you lose it momentarily. Yeah. Obviously, it goes back to what your perspective is. Is it, do you consider losing it or do you consider investing it, basically, right? But the Bible will say you're losing it just because sometimes it can feel like a loss, you know? But it's only a momentary loss.
What are you talking about? Like,
just anything that you do. Like, you know, you lose your life now. Mm-hmm. You lose, you know, living a carnal life now. Right. You lose... having the immediate fulfillment now.
Something that it'll be given to you
100-fold.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. It's something that you were going to lose anyway. Yeah. Because we come naked into this world. And
absolutely. But you know what? A lot of people don't come to that conclusion immediately, though. That's something that I think sometimes people have to learn after losing a couple times. Mm-hmm. That event, you actually come to that conclusion when you have lost something. It's just like, you know, I'm eventually going to lose it anyways.
I think it also ties into being like eternally minded.
Yeah.
Where like act as if you're going to live forever.
Right.
Kind of thing. It's like if say like this is kind of like a carnal example, but it's because I was listening to that Bitcoin Standard book. Yeah. But say you invest like as a Christian, you have a Christian. Say you invest X amount of dollars, $100 into this, and then you lose it all. It never goes back up until the day you die. So what?
Yeah.
But would it be better that you just didn't do anything? You just kept that $100 or whatever?
Right.
Or would it be better that you took that risk and that chance to give the next generation a better life? And that's actually a sermon Pastor Thompson preached about how in the Old Testament it was really important to leave something for your children, mm-hmm. an inheritance. And it was a sermon about wills and stuff like that, like writing a will and all the importance of that and stuff. And he highlighted that it's seen in the Bible as, I don't remember the verse exactly, but it's seen in the Bible as wicked not to leave an inheritance to your...
Oh, righteous man leaveth an inheritance for his children.
Exactly, yeah. So if you can't do that in the position that you are, then maybe you should be more risky.
Yeah.
I think.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the Christian life is full of risks, and I think you should take it. We took a risk starting this church.
Yeah.
Even though Pastor Anderson is the one who founded it, it was a risk even taking charge and being the boots on the ground. And I remember even prior to that, just taking a risk of believing the beliefs that I had.
You take a risk every Sunday when you get behind the pulpit.
Exactly.
Or when you preach against homos or something.
You know, we lost everything initially before we even started the church, but it was worth the risk because then look what happened, you know?
Well, it's just God's promise that you're not only rewarded in this life, but in the life to come also.
Yeah. Or should we say we're not only rewarded in the life to come, but even in this life.
And vice versa. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Because sometimes we think, well, only the reward is only in the life to come. But the Bible actually says having the promise of the life which now is and of that which is to come. It's like you also get rewarded in this life as well. Because, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, when we lost everything, I thought to myself, well, at least, you know, God's going to be pleased with me in heaven. Yeah. But something even sooner came than that. You know, I had a brand new family, brand new church. It's just a lot of opportunities. I got to get more people saved. Yeah. Have a broader audience to preach the word of God.
Imagine if you never took that risk.
Yeah, imagine if what if we never took that risk?
What if you said, no, it's too risky. I just want to live a quiet life. I just want to go to work.
Imagine everything that we would have missed out on.
Yeah.
You know?
Imagine all the souls that wouldn't have been saved.
The rod of iron wouldn't have even existed.
This podcast wouldn't have.
I know that hurt my ears too.
Sorry.
This podcast wouldn't have even existed.
I wouldn't have met my wife. Thank you, Pastor.
Welcome.
Yeah, I mean, so many relationships, so many families were born out of this church.
It's always worth the risk.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you come out losing because you took a risk, well, you know, here's my philosophy is I'd rather take a risk and lose out than not take a risk and wonder what would have happened if I would have just taken the risk.
Yeah.
Isn't that the worst feeling ever?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, man, what would have happened if I would have just done that?
Yeah.
I'd rather just do it and fail.
What do you think Demas is thinking right now in heaven?
He's thinking,
I screwed up.
Oh, man, I should have just stuck with Paul.
Yeah. I would have been so
Paul went places.
Paul.
Yeah.
Like he could have had a lot his name spoken of in a lighter.
Yeah.
You know,
Or even not have his name mentioned at all would have been probably.
Yeah, that probably would have been better. Yeah. I'm sure he would have just taken that.
Yeah.
Boy. You just never know. I mean, you have the story of Saul's son, Jonathan, and his armor bearer. And that ties into that. Yeah, he says, and Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come, let us go over into the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few.
Mm.
He's like, let's go see what God can do.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. And they ended up getting a great victory because of it.
That was a risk.
I love living like that. It was like, you just never know what God's going to do.
Just be radical.
So just try it.
Just be radical. You
know? Yeah. Because you never know. God's not restrained. There's no limit to God, what God can do with us. And, you know, Jonathan took a risk. That was a physical risk that he took there, you know. So that's good.
Yeah.
Amen. What was the other topic we're going to talk about?
The Hyperloop.
Oh, Hyperloop. Is that even what that is interesting?
I don't know what we're even going to. I guess it ties into UAPs. It's like from what I understand, this might be a dated understanding of it, but.
The Hyperloop.
It's like a proposed underground tunnel by Elon Musk's company, the Boring Company. And it.
Oh, it's part of the Boring Company.
Yeah. Boring as in like digging.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wait.
That's what boring means.
Oh, so it's a play on play.
Yeah,
words.
It's a play on words. Yeah,
because have you heard of his boring company?
Yes.
Oh, you have
Tesla. Yeah.
You know what it's about? I'm serious. Have you heard of it?
Yeah.
They come up with all these weird inventions and stuff, like the flamethrower and all that.
Originally, it was
hats, right?
No, I think originally it was the Boring Company was like it was founded to make tunnels, as in to bore underground.
Oh, okay.
I think that's why it's called that. But from what I understand, it might be a dated understanding. He wants to create these vacuum tunnels underground that go from city to city. So I think the proposed one is Las Vegas to L.A.,
mm-hmm.
I think, or maybe Las Vegas to San Francisco or something. And
how fast?
I think it's like – I don't want to say the wrong number. It sounds stupid. But it might be like 300 miles per hour or something like that.
300 –
that's not that fast.
300 miles per hour is pretty fast.
That's three times the speed that you go on, like, from Arizona to...
But the Japanese already have the trains that go...
The bullet train?
Yeah. Isn't that doing, like, 300 miles per hour?
How fast is the bullet train, Ulysses? Look it up.
Okay, it's 670 miles per
hour. Oh, dang. Okay, that's pretty fast. Dang.
That's here to Arizona in an hour.
Yeah.
That's what?
Here to Arizona in an hour. 670 miles an hour.
How fast does that bullet train go?
200 miles.
Oh, that's 200?
Yeah.
Dang, Elon just, like...
Well,
blew that out the
from
water.
What I understand,
well, not yet. He hasn't done it yet.
It doesn't work
so
yet.
I don't want
to. Well, I mean, credit. He's pretty much done everything else he said he's going to invent, right?
What?
So,
I mean, what has he done?
What do you mean? He made a car that just drives by itself. What are you talking
but
about?
People made cars that drive on water. Like, it's not that.
Yeah, but those does everyone called, have that though?
Those are called boats,
dude. The other day, I was driving down the freeway.
So much politics.
I was driving down the freeway. And I'm driving, and this guy pulls up, and he's just, like, meditating outside his window. I'm like, why is this guy, like, not paying attention to where? And I'm like, is this guy driving a Tesla? And he looks at me, and he just waves at me.
Hello,
he's just
peasant.
Like, yeah, and he's just, like, stroking his beard. And so I'm like, wow, really?
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
You're just going to do that in front of me like that?
Just going to flex on me?
Just going to flex on me like that?
From here to Phoenix is 300. It's 370.
I try to do
miles.
The same, but, you know what I mean?
Like, then I crash.
Yeah. I took my hands off the wheel for a little bit just until I passed them up.
What were you saying, Hike?
No, never mind. It's 468 miles.
So you'd get there in like 20 minutes with the Hyperloop.
No. Wait. Like what's 400?
468 miles.
What is?
To Phoenix.
From here?
Oh.
Yeah.
So you'd get there in like 45 minutes.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's from like here to Phoenix in 45 minutes.
And that's a plane. Isn't that the plane ride? How long it takes on
the
plane?
The plane ride actually takes more.
Really? Yeah, oh, yeah, because you have to get on the plane. Yeah. You have to like...
Well, no. The flight takes about an hour, maybe like an hour and 15 minutes
mm-hmm.
from here to Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hour and 15, maybe hour and 30. Less than an hour and 15. But 45 minutes is a huge change from that.
Yeah. And I think the way it works is with like vacuum technology. Like literally like the, like, you know how you have a vacuum? Yeah, exactly. So it like sucks. I think whatever it is, it sucks the rail car or the car or the whatever.
Dude,
it
they
is.
Better know what they're doing, because like
that'll break your back. I mean,
dude, or you just speed, just right? freaking the G-force suck all your organs out of your body or something. Just imagine
that thing better have good
waiting
brakes.
For your family to come, and then they pull up, and you're just like, what in the world? They're just spaghetti.
This is insane.
But then again, I'm sorry. That wouldn't even make sense, because the law of relativity, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Would kick in, obviously, so they wouldn't.
It's a theory, right? I mean, it's not.
It's real. What do you mean? That thing's real.
Then why is it still called a theory of relativity?
Because you can't prove it. It's like the theory of gravity. You can't prove it exists.
But you can observe it. Yeah. Like, okay, I saw this video.
Yeah, I know how it works.
I saw this video of these guys. They were on a train that was going really fast. Mm-hmm. And they had a trampoline in between the boxcars. Mm-hmm. And they're going really fast, yeah. And the guy's bouncing
on
a trampoline.
The train, it's only up and down, but for the guy observing from the outside.
Can you let me explain it?
Yeah,
this guy
absolutely.
Doesn't even believe in it. It's still a theory.
I think yeah. I think it's a theory because we don't actually know why gravity is there. Like the theory of gravity is that, you know, mass attracts
right
things, right?
Right.
Like planets attract stuff, and yeah. you have like attraction in your body.
Anyways,
you're massive.
So the tube Elon Musk is making.
I'm going to look up how it works.
I just don't foresee him making one. I can see that happening in the United States, but not from the United States to Europe, for example.
I could see that happening. I don't see why not. Because well, we were talking about this earlier.
There's yeah, like, but you said, you know, because we have wires from here to Europe, but there's a big difference between wires and human beings.
These are giant cables.
Big difference between giant cables and human beings.
What? What's the difference?
The one is living. That's true. So it's like,
I'm sure there are so many companies out there that probably have this like theory or have schematics on it, but who gets the contract ultimately? Because there's so much politics involved. There's a lot of politics on Elon Musk's car being on the roadways right now.
Yeah.
Because the guy who eventually, I think, originally came up with like water powered engine or like some other engine.
Hydrogen.
That was, yeah.
Are you talking about the actual guy, Tesla?
No, not him. Nikola Although he Tesla? Died all poor and everything.
Some poor idiots.
Are those the schematics right there? Yeah,
what is that?
Undersea. Oh, cable map. Oh, that's what the cable.
That's like internet cables.
But the guy who came up with an engine that could run off, I think it was on water, that guy got assassinated. Because there's just so much money.
That sounds fake, though.
How in the world, in our Wi-Fi world, the internet still depends on undersea cables? Isn't that crazy that the oceans are just beating up against these.
You know, sharks attack those things?
I mean, I wouldn't doubt it.
But they don't know why.
Oh, they don't know why they attack them?
Sharks will literally go and like chew on those cables for like and try to destroy them. And they have no idea
probably
why.
Because it's just good for their teeth or something.
I think the theory is they're attracted to like electromagnetic something or whatever, the radiation that comes off of it. I wonder our live stream sometimes. Actually, one of those cables went down. I don't know when this happened. Maybe it was like must have been years ago, but there was like a huge outage for like 5 minutes while a backup cable kicked in because some shark chewed on the cable. It's pretty wild.
Some great white shark in the middle of the ocean, nowhere, is just messing everything up for everyone.
There's like no internet for you.
That stinking shark out there.
Yeah. But there's like huge internet cables. That's how we communicate with like Europe and China.
I don't think it's going to happen.
What's going to happen?
The underground.
The Hyperloop. I don't know.
At least to other countries.
Because that's what I said.
Like, you mean cross Atlantic or cross Pacific? Yeah.
I think, is it in Revelation where it's like the merchant ships? Because ultimately what comes to mind if something like that does happen is trade, right?
Right.
I mean, we're moving a lot of products.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I don't know.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
There's just so much politics involved.
And plus, if those UAPs are real, that technology exists, that the government's working on, you know, obviously those are probably better than those underground tunnels.
Yeah.
Because they're traveling like at 13,000 miles an hour.
How much do you believe that, though?
I mean, that's what they're claiming.
Yeah. I mean, are you...
I haven't seen it for myself. Yeah. But they, I mean, apparently there's a lot of evidence that it's there. Yeah. Like, they have plenty of evidence that it exists. And when they track how fast it's going, they say they've tracked it up to 13,000 miles an hour.
That's insane.
That is insane. And with no ripples in the I mean, it could either be some advanced technology, or it is some sort of hologram that the government's using.
Yeah, it might be.
That could be it. Yeah, absolutely. But here's the thing: is like
at those things, nobody's in there.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there is. Exactly. We don't.
You could tell time, man. I mean,
relativity.
I mean, if you're going in a car like 120 on the freeway, you don't feel like you're going 120.
Yeah,
I think it's the same principle.
Until you take a sharp right turn or something like that, then you break your neck at those speeds. We're talking about.
That's true. But I mean, we don't.
They probably don't take sharp right turns.
Yeah, they probably don't. I think I've seen the videos where they just like the fastest they move is when they actually like just
go in a straight line,
going straight or something. But I don't know.
That makes sense.
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, obviously, this technology would be foreign to us now, just as the stealth bomber was foreign to people back then. Like, this guy was reporting on a stealth bomber 50 years ago or whatever, and he thought it was like an alien aircraft. But then he realized it was just some top secret ship that the government was working on.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, okay, it's not an alien. It's a ship.
Who 100 years ago, whatever, who could have imagined atomic bombs? These bombs that can level entire cities.
Yeah.
Right.
Obviously, I know they're not aliens. I don't believe in aliens. But I just think the government has a lot of access to a lot of technology. So you never know.
Some people don't even believe in atomic bombs. They don't believe that, like, we're able, because they don't believe in atoms or, like, stuff like that. They say you can't split the atom.
What are you doing here then, Adam? If we don't believe in atoms, then what's Kenzari doing here?
He wants to laugh, but he's not going to.
Those videos piss me off.
What?
They're so funny.
Those are some of the best videos ever, the dad boomer ones. Yeah, they're hilarious, like, dude. They're hilarious. They're funny, okay? You need to grow down some, right? Anyways, I think we're done for tonight, folks. We discussed, is there anything else that we said we were going to discuss on the agenda that we did not discuss?
That's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it. You know, those tunnels.
That was a bad.
I guess we'll see. Hey, we will see if those tunnels actually come to fruition. And, you know.
We discussed the Hyperloop, but none of us know how it works.
Yeah, we don't know how it works, actually.
They don't even know how it works.
Well, Jason in our church knows how it works. Yeah, we should have gotten him.
I texted him. I said, how fast can you be here? He's like, 40 minutes. I'm like, nah, don't worry. Nah.
Well, gentlemen, well, thank you so much for being here. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in tonight to the Rod of Iron podcast. Just as a reminder, you can watch the full episodes on YouTube and on fwbcla.org. And yes, it is updated. And then you can also listen to us on Spotify if you have a subscription to that. I don't think it even costs any money. Maybe it does or doesn't. I don't remember. But you can listen to us on Spotify. Stay tuned for the next episode. Thank you so much for being with us. Have a great night.